Hello and welcome to Cubicles in Christ. Kelly Johnson, certified leadership coach and founder of Be Well My Soul, is on a mission to encourage and inspire you to be spiritually authentic and thrive in life. Let's join the conversation with Kelly now.
Hi everyone, it's Kelly Johnson here. Before we jump into this upcoming episode, I want to make a very special announcement I am super excited about. Cubicles in Christ podcast is now available on iHeartRadio. Hallelujah. So excited about this. You now have another avenue and platform to listen to all episodes of Cubicles in Christ. I hope that you will continue to share it, subscribe it, write a review. I love hearing from everyone. So please join me in celebrating the addition of Cubicles in Christ podcast on iHeartRadio. Also, want to make sure that you know about my book, Emerge. Rise up, be fearless, and take possession of your purpose. It's available on emergewithpurpose.com. And so I hope you'll check it out. It is just going to be, I hope, a blessing to you as you navigate your path to purpose and really understanding how the Lord has already been speaking to you about how He wants to use you. Let's get ready to rise up. And I know that you're going to enjoy my conversation with Marquita Miller. We are going to talk about the power of making choices and decisions to move forward despite incredibly difficult circumstances. You can do it. God bless you. What happens when God brings you to a place in your life where you have to go deep? I'm talking really, really deep in order to practice what you have been preaching. What happens when you have to walk the walk and you don't even want to take another step? Today, please join me in welcoming Ms. Marquita Miller. She is a finance and tax professional. She is the owner of Five Star Tax and Business Solutions in Kansas City. She's a mom. She is a national leader in the International Speakers Association, and she is on the board of the Kansas City Speakers Association. Miss Marquita, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so very much.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive right in because I know we have a lot to talk about. And based on our previous conversations, I know that you and I could go a really long time.
Yes, we have some great conversations. And so I've certainly been looking forward to this.
Me too. So tell me a little bit about kind of your business and what you do. I know that you have an incredible story of really having to have courage and resilience in walking the walk, but kind of give us a little bit of a setup. You know, how did you get to a place where you really were tested in walking the walk?
Gotcha. Well, you know, certainly, like you made mention, being a business owner, this coming January, I've been in business 19 years, and God has really been just faithful and opened up so many doors. I'm a contributing segment host on Channel 5 local in our market, and Channel 4 locally in our market, once a month on the TV stations, a national station here locally, as well as a contributing writer for Black Enterprise Magazine. But I'll tell you, with all of those things, it really went back to nothing that was conventional and nothing that were, you know, some people have the storyline that they can just say, you know, I set out to do this and I planned that and this all just happened just like I thought. Well, I can tell you, I'm an accountant by trade, and accountants are not typically your people, and they're definitely not the person that's going to host a TV segment or host conferences and speak across the country.
Right.
And so, but God just made me in a different bin, and I learned early on in my faith to not put yourself in a box and be who you are, be authentically who God created you to be, and be okay that if you have a piece of this that resembles an accountant, but another piece of something else that resembles a creative mind, be okay that that doesn't look like the recognizable way things normally look. And so it's okay to be unconventional. And I can tell you that has really been a backdrop for many things, from doors opening unexpected to, and even when you talk about having to, you know, be a student of your own message, of your own lesson, and really come back to really believe the word of God that you've heard and you've listened to, you've been committed to, when you find yourself in a hard place. And I certainly experienced that very hard place. I thought before May of 2017, I would have told you I had hard places. So it's so funny how hard places redefine themselves as you continue to go in life. Because I really consider this May of 2017 to probably have been the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life, which was the unexpected passing of my late husband. And so, you know, I'm an author of Faithpreneur book. And so faith is the core of who I am, right?
Right.
I teach people in a workshop that I host across the country, no more excuses, only results. I teach people that you can't have excuses. You've got to have results. And so for that thing to manifest itself and for me to be face to face with something that, you know, being married 23 years.
Wow.
I'm 44, you know, 44 years old. I was 43 when he passed away. I was my adult life, you know, I was married. That's what I went from home to being married.
Right.
So I really didn't have a middle ground. I didn't know life before him without it being high school, if you will.
Right.
And so this was very raw at its core, and it was unexpected. It was definitely not what I had my faith out for. In fact, what even probably made it a little bit more difficult. I was just talking to some ladies. I spoke at a conference last night that, you know, he had been sick 3 years prior and was in ICU, and they didn't expect him to make it. And he pulled from that, and he had, you know, he made it through that process. And then he got sick a little bit before, but they said, oh, it's nothing to worry about. And he lost 60 pounds. They had actually released him in 2017 from all doctor care.
Wow.
Saying he was doing phenomenal.
Wow.
So, you know, you talk about a place to shake your faith, to shake your core of everything that you ever really thought. I have just have to be transparent as possible that you ever thought was true. That really caused me to have a face-to-face moment with, wow, do you really even believe this faith thing? How did this happen? This wasn't supposed to happen. And I remember when, you know, he got sick, and it was on a Sunday. It was a Sunday I'll never forget. It was, I now say Sundays are not easy. Some Sundays are not easy.
Right.
But I kept thinking, how did this happen? And I was praying like I never prayed before. Once he called me and said something's very wrong. And I got to the house, and my pastor came to the house, and my first lady came to the house, and dear friends, I mean, we prayed like never before. And it ended not like I had in my mind as faith people that it would end.
Right.
And so from that moment, and even to today, we really, and all of us, I think we have, I know I certainly had a decision to make, and, you know, ministering to my children at that very moment. We had four children all together, two that him and I had together, and two that I'm a bonus mom to.
Right. I love that.
That are adult children. And so, and their mom was deceased. Mm. So to look in their eyes and see them, you know, wailing at the hospital that they need their father. This is the only parent that they had left, natural parent.
Right.
I sat there in just almost dismay saying, how can this be?
Right.
How can this really be? Is this a dream? This really cannot be the way this thing ends, because I've heard by your stripes that you're healed. And we said that. I heard where two or three will be gathered, that you'd be in the midst, and we've got way more than two or three.
Right.
Be it according to your faith. And so I had all these scriptures that were sound, but yet we were still here faced with this decision. And I can tell you, I had to decide that I had to drink my own Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 15, 16 days before I actually said, you know what? It really didn't say to me, let me really be transparent. I remember hearing the Holy Spirit say to me, you get to decide. I was laying in bed. It was a Sunday night. And by this time, funeral's done. Friends are back to their schedule and sorority sisters, and everybody's back to their life, right?
Right.
And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you get to decide. Do you lay here in this, or do you get up and move forward?
Girl, okay. Pause right there. That is so powerful. And that is so real and important, in that I think sometimes the difference between those of us who do heal, overcome, walk in our purpose, it all starts with the choice and a decision.
Yes.
And I think sometimes the difference is also we allow the enemy and his lies to rob us from even being able to see that we have a choice.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, in other words,
oh yeah,
there, you know, the marriage that is broken and you didn't even want it to be broken, right? And right. he or she has moved on, and yet you never even wanted the marriage to end. In that moment, it could feel as if your choice has been stolen from you. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's,
oh, yes.
there's times that, you know, the job layoff, the passing of a loved one, as in your experience, that medical diagnosis where it seems as if there is no choice. I just want you to keep in that moment, in that zone of how did you get there? Thankfully, you heard clearly from the Holy Spirit, which if we don't have a strong relationship with Christ, right?
Right.
We may not necessarily get that message.
Right.
And so it's so important that we are walking our faith daily. We are practicing. We are spending time in the presence of the Lord. We are reading and studying His scriptures so that we will hear from Him. And you heard from the Holy Spirit so beautifully. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just felt like that was so profound. And I just want whoever is listening to know you have a choice right now, today. You have a choice. It is never, ever too late. So,
yes, that's good. And even to say, you know, when, as you made mention about, you know, I'm grateful to be a believer, and because I don't really know how I would have without that. Because when I say everything was rocked, even to be the believer that I am, the person who ministered in church, who's led Bible studies and all that, my core was just literally rocked. I remember telling friends that were coming and say, you know, God, I said, hold it, keep it. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, I was like that for about 3-4 days.
Yeah.
No, nothing. You can't come to me with that. I know that already. No, mm-hmm. I don't want that. But I will say something for the person who may possibly listen to this and they don't have a relationship with Christ. God uses people too, right?
Absolutely.
And so in the midst of it, if you, for the person who doesn't know the word, that's why we as believers have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that as us being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will prompt us for someone who doesn't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, doesn't know the sound of the Holy Spirit, for us to be that person He uses.
Absolutely.
To say, girl, you got a choice.
Yes.
You get to decide. Yes, it looks like it's unfair. I've not experienced a divorce, but it looks like you talked about that. You feel like you've been mistreated. You didn't want the divorce. You didn't even cheat. He left you.
Yeah.
And that's not even how it ends in the movie.
Right.
But it ended that way, right? And you're like, no, my choice has been stripped of me. My life has been altered altogether. I've been embarrassed.
Right.
By everyone, people in the community. I don't know why I'm going that way, but I'm kind of piggybacking off of what you said. But in the midst of it, you still got a choice, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the storyline is. Even the death of a child. I was talking to a lady at a workshop that where I spoke at last night, and she came to me and she said, my son died and the anesthesiist wasn't certified, and it was the best hospital, and he didn't have to die.
Oh my goodness.
And she said, hearing you share your story, and you said how God doesn't hear us when we have unforgiveness in our heart. She said, I today had to turn the page and forgive the anesthesiist.
Ooh.
She didn't think she had a choice, right?
Right.
But she had a choice because she was at that workshop and she heard the message. I had no idea that was her story, but she then had a choice to forgive him, not forgetting that her son died because that was still painful for her, but to forgive the man that took steps that led to the cause of her son's death, for her to say, you know what? I forgive him so that I can heal.
Yes, girl. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a choice. I have a choice. We have a choice. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. So back to where you were going. So your husband had passed away, and in terms of timing, you speak all over the country. Your calendar, I know, was like maxed out over the next several months. You took a break for a period of time.
Yes,
but talk us through those steps that you took after you made a choice? Or even when you heard the Holy Spirit speak to you, did you make the choice immediately? Like, what was that process even like?
Mm. You know, great question, because when I heard it, I knew that it was the Holy Spirit, but I still had a decision. Here we go back to that. I still had the decision to take steps that would lead to the choice, because we can often say, I'm making the choice, but our actions have to line up to making the choice.
Girl, yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay, all right.
So our actions have to line up. And I heard it. I heard the Holy Spirit. In my mind, I said I was making the choice, but I still yet was scared to go back to my office, which my husband didn't die at the office. But this fear was gripping me in certain places, in weird outlets. We worked together in the business. And so for whatever reason, I had a staff. I just couldn't go back to that office.
Right.
And I don't know if it was because we normally go to the office together or what, but I just still, and even after making the decision, I wasn't going to the office. And a friend who in business, a business associate, who now she's a dear friend, and she called me and she said, I just felt led to call you. I will go with you to your office today, if nothing more than just to check the mail. And I hadn't shared with anyone that I had this fear of going to the office. And I couldn't even place where the fear had came from, but it was just a fear. But the enemy knows, see, the enemy only has three weapons: to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he knew that me entering that office would be the door opening to me walking back through the doors of many things, right?
Yes.
And so her calling and saying that, and I was like, okay, well, okay. I think I need that. That's the thing, you know, you have to be honest and transparent that you may really want to make the decision. And in your mind and your heart, you're like, yes, I want to move forward. But then if you feel like you don't know how, you've got to heed and take the steps and say, I need help. The help came to me. And so it was easy. But guess what? Pride could have been like, no, I'm good. I'll go by at some point. And I just said, no, I need that. I would like that. And it was, you would have thought we were walking to a murder scene, because there were so many people with me that came. And so people were like, what is going on? But I needed that support. My daughters were with me, and the friend was with me. And we were like, we pulled in the parking lot of where the commercial building is at. And they were like, just breathe. Sometimes you got to just breathe through it as you're taking the steps, right?
Mm.
And they were like, just breathe. And I don't even know why the fear was so paralyzing with that area, because it had nothing to do with that at all.
Right.
But I believe that the enemy knew that if I ever walked back through those doors, that because of purpose, how we're built, purpose ignites you.
Yeah.
And in the work that I do, it ignites me, and it's my purpose. And so that building was just the physical interest of it. And so we took it slow. We went up the elevator, and I had to stop once we got to the sixth floor. It was just like this whole, now that I look back at it, it was this whole scene. And I know people were like, what is going on? But it was so paralyzed. And then to finally walk in the door, and, you know, I saw the office manager who I talked to, you know, I've talked to her 5-6 times a day to stay involved. And she greeted us at the door, because they'd already prepped her. Don't say too much. Don't hold her too long.
Right.
Don't hold or hug her. All this kind of stuff.
Right.
And so then, you know, she tried to make sure customers wouldn't be there during the time we were coming, so it wouldn't be so overwhelming. That's also, you have to set yourself up to win.
Absolutely.
If it takes, you know, sometimes to turn the page, you know, staffing a situation, you know, I had her in place where I didn't need to see customers right then. I just needed to be able to walk back in the environment and see myself step back into that.
Absolutely.
Without customers interaction at that time. And so when I walked back in, I didn't do a whole lot. I kind of shuffled papers around on the desk. And I was exhausted by the time I got back home. You'd have thought I did a day's work. But it was a step that was necessary. And then after that, I was able to go by myself.
Praise God.
The next day.
Praise God.
I could go by myself. And so that seems like so for some people, they may be thinking, why is that such a big thing? But guess what? Everyone has a big thing they have to do. If it's for the person that, you know, you've experienced some embarrassment or something or shame, and you want to go back to Christ, not that Christ is the church, because the church is a building, but for some people, it's walking back in the place where they're like, you know what? I missed it so bad. I messed up so much.
Right.
I can't go back there. They're all going to be looking at me. You got to take those steps. And even if it means taking it with friends, we all get an opportunity where we have to take a bold step. For the, you know, the person struggling with drugs or addiction, You got, everybody starts with a step. It all starts with a step. Every situation
absolutely
starts with a step.
And I think it starts with the decision, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then I loved what you said about, we can decide in our mind, we can say verbally even, yes, I'm deciding to move forward. But I love what you said about how the actions have to line up. And so as you were sharing that, and I loved your example of entering back into the office for the first time and the support that you needed. I love that you were honest about what you needed, that you weren't fake and phony, like, I got this, girl. But but meanwhile, a month later, you still ain't step foot in there, right? Like,
right.
But as you were speaking, this verse out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm looking at, there's multiple translations on my smartphone right now. My personal favorite is typically New Living Translation. And what I love about this is that the audience for this show is primarily women, but I love all my male listeners. Thank you very much. but this particular verse in the New Living Translation, it says, such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. The ESV says, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And so the reason why that came up for me is that when we are in really difficult situations where we have to make a go, no-go decision, am I going to move forward? Am I not? I have seen many women get stuck in the loop of, let me read the latest devotional. I'm going to declare this, and I'm going to affirm this, and I'm a believe this, and I'm going to say this. And there's a lot of saying.
Right.
There's a lot of learning, which is important. I'm not dismissing right. the importance of it, but there's someone who needs to make some bold actions now, I believe.
Yes.
And we have to not stay on that hamster wheel of just learning, receiving the word of God, and getting poured into by the Holy Spirit. There's an expectation that we have to come into the knowledge of the truth. We can't know something if we don't experience it. We can't know something unless we practice it and do it. And so mm-hmm. if we're going to come into the full knowledge of the truth, we've got to practice what we have been learning. And I believe that with my whole heart, that we have got to make sure that we are not just verbalizing
yes.
what we are going to do or what we believe. We have to do it. We have to take action.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that, I do attend a Word of Faith ministry, and I really do believe in declarations and confessions. But I'll tell you, they're really not faith confessions if they don't. Yes, you got to say it, and saying it releases things into the atmosphere, right. and it even releases endorphins in your body. There's, scientists
right.
have said.
Right.
But also, if it's really faith, it'll cause you to step and do something that you haven't done.
Absolutely.
Saying it is one thing, but the saying it ought to be producing and flipping you into an action to be able to take care of something, to do something. Because otherwise, you're just talking about it. And as the kids say, you got to walk your talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. All right. I keep, we keep going off into these, conversations, but they're so great. I mean, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, just for your spirit being here, because I believe that so many people are going to be blessed by what you're sharing, Marquita. And so I'm just so thankful to you for your transparency. I'm so thankful to you for being willing to share your story and the goodness of the Lord, even in a situation like this, like losing a spouse. So thank you for that.
Yes. No. I after even that journey of making the decision and walking forward, I remember praying, asking God just to help me, keep taking the step. And I remember God saying, you're going to heal as you go. Mm. You're going to heal as you go. And the first speaking engagement, you made reference to speaking engagements. I canceled everything. He passed in May. I canceled everything in June. And then in July, I went back to speaking. But one of the speaking engagements that I had, and I think it may have been August or September, it was after July, I was there. God had already told me, I will heal you as you go. And if you will be transparent with your story, because too much who's given much is required. That's not for everyone, but I happen to live a life that is forward and invisible, if you will. from TV and radio and that kind of thing. So I have a real big social media presence from that standpoint. And so he said, as transparent as you'll be, because oftentimes on Facebook, we show people only the after, right? And
or the best, or
the best version of what happens. They don't see what was happening when you were trying to lose weight. They don't see what was happening when you were believing God for the husband. They just see the picture of now I'm married. And I didn't want to just come out and all of a sudden be, because, you know, I was already known as a motivational speaker, known as a person who would be accountable to action and moving forward. And I knew I would come out in the end being moving forward. Right. But I wanted them to see, after I heard that, that there was a real place that the decisions, as we've been talking about, and the steps that would take place would allow me to unwind. Because I thought it would be, well, when I heard the God say that it'll heal others as you heal, and your healing will manifest even faster. Oh my gosh, I'll never forget. I did a Facebook Live in June, when I canceled all speaking engagements, but I did a Facebook Live in June. And you'd have to know me to know that my friends will tell you, everything has to be polished, right? I was just that kind of person, you know. If it was supposed to be a moment that was supposed to be natural, I had polished the natural, okay? I'm like, does it look natural? And so everything was a polished moment for me. So this was a really big step for me because this was really unpolished and it was really, right. And I really didn't know what they were going to get because it was June and I was still very fresh. And so, but I knew people had been calling and I couldn't take all the calls, return all the calls. And I was certainly grateful for the calls, but I said, this is an opportunity where I will talk with them. And I got on and within seconds, it was like over 200 people on the live. And I just began to share and just thank them. And I, in the midst of sharing, I was very transparent. And at one point I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I think I'm going to start crying on Facebook Live. I remember saying that out of everything else. I remember saying that because I could feel it. And I was like, this can't be happening. And I had to, go with it and let it happen. And I will tell you the message. I talked about therapy. Now, one thing about me, and we'll talk a little bit about it, I did make phone calls to figure out and get advice because I'm a coach and I believe in coaches need coaching. And I believe when you go into territory that you've never been, there is someone to guide you. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a helpmate like none other. Yes, prayer is important, but I also know that people can help you to shorten your learning curve. So I was already in therapy. Like, oh, now also personality type. If someone says therapy is necessary, you should go once a month. Because of my personality type, I was going once a week. I think I actually had two a week, to be honest. I had a group therapy and an individual. I'm team overdue a little bit. So, so by that time I'd done therapy, and it's not popular among the African-American culture. Therapy is not something that is talked about often. It's not seen as, oh, you must be crazy if you're going to a therapist. And so I shared on that Facebook Live about my therapist because we share from where we're at. So I only had a little bit of capacity, right? And so I just shared with them from that. I cannot tell you, oh, the messages. And I knew God's word was true because the messages I got after that of people saying, can I have the therapist number? My husband has been passed for 8 years. And based upon what I heard you say, I'm not even there. I'm in present in a place, but emotionally, my soul, this particular person reached out. She said, I'm back in the bed. She said, I'm only just making action. And she said, I need to go to the therapist. Another lady messaged me and she said, tell me what they do at the therapist's office. Is it scary? And so I remember messaging back people. I felt like, you know, during June, I was really doing free consultations about therapy, but it was, I would have never had that capacity to even talk about it. I had never been to therapy before this happened. Right. And so it opened up a door and I really did the healing. I do believe sped up. It really did speed up for me because in my natural mind, I don't know how in the world I could have gotten on stage in July. And I was on some major national platforms in July. I don't even know how I could have done that. But I think out of ministering, when we pour out to others, there is something that happens that builds you up as you're helping because we're geared to really lend our gifting, right? And so I can truly say that had I not done those things in June, I probably would not have been ready for July.
Right. So I love that you are such a advocate and ambassador for counseling and coaching. And I tell people all the time too, I'm a coach, and I invest in coaching for myself. It is not something that I just sell or do. I believe in it. And I have gone to counseling many of times. I've gone to marital counseling, and I've also done individual therapy. And I am also a big supporter of counseling. And I think there is extreme value in Christian counseling, Christian coaching, and you know, people have to determine if that's the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for support, getting support from someone who shares your values and shares your perspective and who will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your time together, it is immensely valuable.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, so I often say this week, I've been saying this quite a bit. You have to get out of your own way sometimes. And what I mean by that in this sense is that it may not be the people that were your closest people. Sometimes we have an idea of the people we want to share with or the people who we feel like should be the ones to help us. And I had close friends that did help me tremendously. And I don't want to make it sound like that. But I'll tell you, I had some people surface that I didn't even associate with a great deal. And then mm-hmm. I had people surface that I didn't even know before because they were other widows. And they were tremendous help. So you got to be open in the process of where your help comes from. If you just want help, I'm going to tell you, help's going to come. But it may not be the way you just thought it would come. It may not even be from who you thought it would come from. But it right. will surface. And so you're so right on when you say that.
Yeah. So I know our time together may be coming to a close in a little bit. I would love for you, you had previously shared with me some advice on how you got to a place where not only did you decide to move forward, but you started taking action. And so you've shared about the importance of therapy. You've shared the importance of even just asking for help and accepting help when it does come. What other advice would you give? Because, and you know, I've said this to you before, some people hearing you or watching you speak, they might be like, of course, Marquita, you're going to bounce back quickly because you're such a go-getter. You're on team overdue, as you have already self-confessed. Like, you know, like I think sometimes people look at some people who might have a bolder, more extroverted personality and say, oh yeah, of course it's easy for you. Or of course it turned out that way for you. And so share with us a little bit more insight into your path of healing to help people not just get caught up in your packaging and get right. caught up in your success in your business and in your, you know, your other endeavors. What else would you share with us?
Absolutely. So, you know, that can be true because when you have people who are, you know, extroverts and charismatic, they seem to be able to have this thing that just kind of happens. But I will tell you, it's actually to the opposite, because a lot of times people that you see in forefront, they have, and I didn't, and this is what kind of really helped me. I didn't want to say I was okay.
Right.
And not truly be okay. Because one of the first things that I did is I decided to ask for help. I immediately reached out to other widows that had experienced the loss of a spouse. And I began to ask them questions. In the beginning, again, I wasn't even able to call them because I couldn't. It was something about being scared to hear their voice and my voice, because I knew connecting, it would make me put me in another place. But I started off just texting saying, do you have a moment? And of course, you know, when you get a text from a new widow, you're like, yes, yes, what do you need?
Right.
And so we talked about, I was having like 3 and 4 conversations by text at one time with various widows. And I remember just asking questions and being transparent, you know, what is next? What did happen? What should I be doing in the next 10 days, 5 days? What are the things you regret that you didn't do? What are the things that you feel like were great resources? And I began like really mentally jotting them down. And then I actually physically jotted them down. And I remember just asking God to help me to make the right decisions. And that's one, the counseling came as a result of it, because I began to hear through text message, it didn't even take voices in some cases, to hear the ones that were really moving forward and some that were really truly stuck. Because mm-hmm. your languaging really reveals where you're at, no matter what your mouth is saying.
Absolutely.
And so, And I did not want my mouth, because it could have been really, I did not want my mouth to say, oh yes, I'm great, blessed and highly favored of the Lord, and then go back in my house and be in a depression. I did not want that. And, you know, we as church people sometimes, come on, ladies, yes. We know when to put the smiley face on and yes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go do yes. this. Yes. And I did not want that. I did not want that, because somebody had told me, if you come back in this thing too soon and you're really not what you say you are, you will have to circle this mountain again.
Mm.
And that scared me, because yeah. I was like, whew, no, I'm the kind of person, I want to do it right the first time.
Right.
And if I get in trouble for one time, you can best believe it's not going to happen a second time. So I was like, no, I don't want that. I really authentically, and so when I would go to therapy, that's another thing. Remember us talking about, you can say you want something. I could have went to the therapy to say, check, therapy's done. No, but when I went there, I really leaned in. And what's funny is, you know, the therapist didn't know me. The individual therapist didn't know me. And but after we talked, she's like, oh, I know you. And so, you know, it would start shifting the business. I'd be like, no. I'm here for this. Right. This moment is this. Right. And I'm not going to let this moment turn into anything else. And I'm going to be all in, and I'm leaving all this at your feet, because this is what you get paid to do. So I don't know what you do with it when it's at your feet, but I'm leaving it here.
Right.
And I lean in. That's what I can tell you. You have to, in therapy, in the group therapy class that I went to, they told you have to lean into the grief. Don't back up off of it, because if you backed off, you wouldn't experience it all. Lean into it. And so I did that. I leaned into it. I would walk a lot. I found out that therapy, it was a good therapy for energy, for the air and the vitamin D. And so at that time, it was summertime months. And so I would walk, I mean, excessively a lot, so much so it worked. Did not think that that would happen, but I lost like 80 pounds from all the walking. And so that was a good benefit of it. But
yeah,
I just, when I would start feeling what I call having a moment, I'd let myself have the moment, but I would also do things that were necessary, from training, from talking to people. So I can tell you that a lot of times people think, oh, strong people are able to go through it a lot easier. But, you know, there's a scripture that says, what happens when the strong is weak?
Mm.
Or, you know, a reference. I remember that. I don't even know if that's a scripture. But anyway, what happens when the strong is weak, right? And so in the midst of that, I knew that I didn't want to portray there and pretend to be strong and really be weak and really be in depression.
Right.
And then also for the people that I serve, I can't get up on stage and be authentically who I'm supposed to be, because this audience, they read that really well. They read if you're not really there. And so I owed it to myself and also for my kids. So you got to understand your whys. Everybody's got to have a why.
Yes.
You have to have a why of why do you want to move forward? And I knew for my kids, I was like, you know, wow, my two bonus kids, you know, they didn't have a natural or a natural father, but they had me. And then I'm looking at the two kids I gave them, I'm like, wow, they have a mom, but you know, I'm getting ready to train them on how they move forward, because at some point I will go on, right? And they'll be here if it's God, by God's design. And I don't want them to ever think they can't make it.
Right.
Because they still got a choice. And so I wanted to model moving forward in regardless of it, and taking the next, but it was a lot of practical things that I did, I'll tell you, to help set myself up. You know, I read about what things triggered your grief, and it was a fast food, greasy foods. So I try to do things.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my
being too hot. So I read about natural things so that I could help to put myself in a better place naturally. And then I did the spiritual things as well. But you know, it was a journey, and it was a decision that I just have decided to walk out, and I'm still walking out, and I have some great days. And then I have some days that I'm like, well, that week kind of sucked. We blew that over with cry tears there. Right. We had a moment, and a stranger witnessed our moment. And I just said, okay, you know, it's what it is. And you just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I remember you sharing, and maybe is kind of, I know you have more advice, but maybe is sort of the last piece of wisdom you'll share for our time together today. I would love for you to talk about sowing seeds.
Oh, yes.
The importance of sowing seeds. And you gave a specific example about a practice that you had in your own business for many years, long, long, long before you knew you would need it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that story? And then we'll get ready to close out and pray.
Yes, absolutely. And so I had no idea, other than the Holy Spirit never surprised what's going to happen. Jesus never surprised what's going to happen in your life. So there are things that you're doing today that are preparing you to survive things that will come later. And so in my business, I had made it a practice that anytime one of my clients had experienced the loss of a spouse, it wasn't anything written. No one knew it other than my staff. When they came to get their taxes done the next year, at the end of the tax, they'd always say, okay, what's my bill so I can pay you? I would say there was zero bill. I'd give them an invoice and I'd say, this is your balance. And it would be zero. And they'd be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's zero. And it was an unspoken word. And, you know, it was just this look every time. Mm-hmm. And they would just kind of some whelp up, but it was a look. And I just started doing it. And so much so my office was like, maybe we should have a little nonprofit because this is kind of adding up. And I was like, no, I just know God told me to do it. I don't know why. But I did that. So I didn't realize at that time I was sowing seeds, Jesus, that would be the seeds that I'd need to harvest in my own life years to come later. Every time I would serve one of those widows or widowers, every time I would give them a free tax return and not charge them, I didn't realize I was sowing seeds then that I would reap a harvest on. And so for my own self, wow, I can tell you those seeds, that there was a mighty harvest that I benefited from as a result. Because it's a whole nother topic about, you know, being prepared for, you know, life after love. That's a whole nother topic about life insurance and all that kind of stuff. But I will tell you, I had friends that showed up for me because I had my two children were both in college. Mm. And they were approaching their senior year of college, of their bachelor's degree. And I had investment properties. I had, you can imagine just be, you know, losing a spouse, but now you're losing income as well, right? Right? And so, but I cannot tell you how friends showed up for me. People, I say friends, and I probably use that to, I probably say that I just need to say people showed up because there are people to this day that I don't even know who they are that sent checks in the mail. I don't even know who they are to this day. The checks would surface and people sent funds to the funeral home to make sure that there was no balances to have to be paid. Wow. And people send dollars to my kids' school to say, we just want to pay on things. The school said, we want to take care of balances. I cannot tell you how the harvest came in. And even to this day, there was a workshop that I wanted to attend and looking for ways. And that's a whole nother conversation, like I said, of how do I, you know, move forward and reclaim income that's lost. I had to, and not actually have to put my hands to it. I attended a workshop. This workshop was supposed to be like $2,000. This was just a couple of weeks ago. And I went to register and the person recognized my name. My husband's been passed now almost 18 months ago. And they said, no, I got a scholarship for you.
Wow. Praise
you just God. Pay $179. But I want you to come. Praise and I'm God. Like, wow. And so I can't, when I tell you, there's stories after stories of checks and don't worry about paying, unexpected. I had a client literally write me a $10,000 check.
Praise God.
And say, I don't know anything that's going on. I don't even know if you need it, but I feel led to do this.
Praise
so
God.
I cannot say about the power of seed, of sowing and reaping enough. Obey God when God tells you to give and do something, because you never know when you may need to be the recipient of those seeds.
Praise God. And what I love about that is we often don't understand in the beginning why we are inclined or feel a tenderness or an interest or passion about something. Okay. It could be anything. For you, this was something you felt compelled to do many, 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 many years before you even knew why. But I think that's why it's so important to journal, to have your reflection time, to look back over your past and try to understand the bigger context of what the Lord is gradually revealing to you along your path to purpose. And I talk about this in my book, but I think it's so important because many, many times we don't even understand, well, why am I passionate about baking? Right? Like, yeah, I'm really good at it. It's something I really enjoy doing, but you have no idea how God wants to even use your love and passion for baking to maybe bring comfort to someone who is going through. And for you, you know, always having a tender spot for people who are widows or widowers. And as you said, it was a seed planted every single time. And, you know, God is so faithful. He is not a liar. His word declares that he will pour out a blessing so big we won't have enough room to store. And we tend to think of that verse from a financial context, usually, but that harvest can be just the people surrounding you when you need it. It could be the phone call, the text message that you need. And so I know we were only able to share the short version of that story, but I believe it's so important to even have that reflection time of really understanding, how did God design me? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why do I even feel compelled to do some of the things that I'm doing? Because if you take the time to ask the Lord to give you understanding about, you know, why am I interested in this? Why do I feel compelled to do that? He will reveal it to you when the time is right. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, thank you. And even now, there's things that I do for widows that I never would have had the connection. I had with people, like I said, I had friends who had been widows and I never knew what they really needed. Now, a friend just actually, her husband was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And the funeral was just a couple of weeks ago. My ability to serve her was in a much different, unique way than I ever would have been able to serve her. So I say that to say for final thoughts, that what you've been through, at some point, you will be able to turn that around and give it back to people so that when they walk through it, they've got somebody that they can look at and see, I made it. I'm making it. We're doing this together. We're walking hand in hand. I don't have it all figured out, but we're going to walk this thing together, girl. And yeah, we're going to make it and we're going to be strong. There was a scripture that really helped me the last few months, Joshua 1:9. Have I not command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So for those listening, wherever you go, whatever situation, circumstance you're facing, the Lord your God is with you.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And the out of Isaiah, when he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? You know, I know that even out of such tremendous loss and grief, that new things are springing up for you. And not only are you able to serve people in a unique and more enriching way, but I know that you're also an ambassador for health now. You know, you're from the loss of your husband, you are using that to share the message of, go to the doctor, please.
Yes.
Will you please exercise and eat just a little bit healthier, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I appreciate you so, so very much. I know so many people are going to want to get in touch with you. So why don't you share, what's the best way, your social handles, for people to follow you, to know what's going on, the latest and greatest about Miss Marquita Miller?
Absolutely. They can reach me via social media, Marquita M. Miller. My handles are at Marquita M. Miller. I'm pretty active on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Facebook is probably the best way. As well, Mark, if you Google Marquita Miller or No More Excuses, Only Results, you will definitely connect with me. And so I'd love to talk with you, love to share with you. And thank you, Kelly, for having me on. You have an amazing program and a ministry that you really have. And I commend you in what you do and how you really authentically show up. And you really do strive to make sure that you're bringing and protecting your guests and making sure that the message and the things share are really helping to move people forward. So I salute you and I thank you and I pray God's abundance and blessing upon everything that you put your hands to.
Thank you so very much. That's so special. And I truly, truly appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. I know we could probably go for two more hours and still have fun with it.
Right.
You know, sometimes conversations drag out and you're like, oh my goodness, how much longer? So it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We're going to close out in a quick prayer, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Gracious Father, Lord, we just bless your name today. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you always, by what you accomplished on the cross and your resurrection on the third day, because of what you accomplished, we always have a choice. We always have an option. And it is always one of hope. It is always one of working together for our good. And so we just celebrate you today, Father, for giving us the choice to move forward, for equipping us with the courage that we need to not only make the decision in our mind, but to take bold steps, to take bold action, to be very courageous day by day. And in the meantime, Lord, as we get stronger, we thank you for sending people to surround us. We thank you that you equip us with what we need. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for equipping us. We thank you, Lord, for the new beginnings that are happening in all of our lives. We give you glory in advance. We thank you in advance. We worship you in advance for all that you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Marquita.
Thank you for joining this episode of Cubicles in Christ. Be sure to visit BeWellMySoul.com for fresh biblical inspiration and practical ideas to thrive in life. May you grow in peace, love, and soul prosperity.